Please welcome Jean Melter to tell us about unexpected consequences.
Okay. Hello. As some of you know, the first year of teaching is difficult. And I haven't been a teacher for a long time, but I still have very vivid memories of my short career, and especially of my first year. And this was 1988 in San Francisco, and I was hired to teach social studies and English at James Lick Middle School. And this is a school that served some of the poorest kids in the city. And I was nervous, of course, about my first job, but I prepared. I had a few weeks to prepare after I got the job before school started. And then a few days before school started, the principal informed me that I would also be teaching one period of PE. And in those days, teachers were allowed to teach one subject for which they were totally unqualified. And this allowed principals the freedom to move, you know, the scheduling and staffing to solve those problems more easily. And I agreed. I agreed cheerfully. I didn't want to let her know that I was terrified and incompetent in this area, but I was. And I was particularly ill qualified. I didn't know anything about any sport, so I couldn't demonstrate a sport. I couldn't explain a sport. I didn't have the rules or the skills for any sport. Not even push-ups or sit-ups. Nothing. So the principal had suggested I meet with the real PE teachers, which I did, and there are two of them, Jim and Bernice, and they'd been teaching together for decades and coaching, and they were good friends, and they totally knew what they were doing, and they got the picture right away, but I had thought of a kind of an escape route, and this would be, I would teach a dance class while they taught PE. So we would ask the kids, I could just take volunteers, who would rather dance than do PE? And so they agreed to this, and this is what actually happened. And I ended up with 25, 30 girls, pretty nice girls. And I wasn't qualified to teach dance either. But I knew this population, and I knew that I would get the girls who knew how to dance, loved to dance, would be happy to dance for an hour. They brought their own music, and we just danced, and we all taught each other moves. Well, I didn't teach any, but they taught. And this is how it went. Okay, so that's fifth period. But periods 1 through 4 didn't go very well. So this is my 8th grade English and my 7th grade social studies. From the first day, even though I had wonderful plans, really interesting, inspiring stuff, they didn't cooperate. They weren't respectful. I didn't get through any period of any day successfully. And I didn't respond to their misbehavior effectively. So it was a nightmare. I dreaded going to school every single day, and Sunday nights I was absolutely sick. So this went on for several weeks, and I don't think I'm the only person who does this, but sometimes when you have an insurmountable problem or a real challenge in front of you, and you just can't handle it, you don't know how to solve this, you decide that there's something totally simple and unrelated will help you. Like a baseball player saying, if I wear my red underwear, I'll hit a home run. Right? Well, see, I do know something about sports. So my thing that I latched onto was the kids didn't respect me because of my hair. I had the wrong hairstyle. And if I corrected that and got a real professional look, then I would have authority in the classroom. As soon as I got the idea, I had to act on it. And so I walked around my neighbor, this is Noe Valley in San Francisco, 24th Street, very busy street, lots of salons. I walked him down until I found a salon that was open, you know, on a Tuesday night, and went in, talked to the receptionist. There was a hairdresser available. So my plan was working. The receptionist invites Jason out to, he introduces himself, we shake hands. I'm a little nervous though, because my mother always said, don't ever let a man cut your hair. No, don't ever use a male hairdresser, because they don't listen to you and they just do whatever they want. But then I thought to myself, how could that be true? How could that be true with thousands of male hairdressers in San Francisco all making a living if that were true? So I went with Jason and I sat down in his chair and I started off. I'll tell you, my hair was a problem. I wasn't imagining it. In the 80s, both men and women had mullets. So this is short in the front and then long and scraggly in the back. And I knew that that was my problem, so I'm explaining this to Jason, that the long piece in the back was really the problem. And what I thought would look nice was a bob, you know, a bob where, you know, it's all the same length all the way around and kind of neat. And he says, I know what a bob is. And you know what? He was actually offended. He was mad. So I shut up and I just sat in the chair and he cut away kind of aggressively. And we didn't speak. We didn't chat or smile, nothing. And I just sort of cowered in the chair as he cut away. And I was facing the mirror. And at one point, he got out an electric razor, which I thought was odd. But I didn't say anything because I was so intimidated by Jason. And so he went. I heard the buzzing back there. It felt a little funny. But I said nothing. And then at the end, he set the razor down, said he was done, and handed me a mirror. Now, the front looked just right. It was very neat and professional looking. And he wheeled me around. I looked at the back, and I was appalled. So this was the look. So I had dark hair then. So brown hair, kind of in a neat cap. Halfway down the back of my head, it stops, and the rest is just bald. It is bald. It's just a white scalp. The back of my head is a white scalp. Now, so for those of you who weren't there, in the 80s in San Francisco, there was a small group of young people who had a very aggressive look, right? So they've got the combat boots, the piercings, the Mohawks. This I would fit right in with that crowd, and so you would expect me to have safety pins in my cheeks. This is how edgy this haircut was, but the thing is though, and Jason knew this full well. The rest of me, neck down, Nancy Reagan. Okay. This is my attempt, of course, to get authority in the classroom was to dress kind of like Nancy Reagan, you know, the neat button down, the skirt, the pumps, and I have this haircut, like Sid and Nancy, you know, kind of, so I was speechless, and at that time I was not assertive. I paid Jason. I paid the man. I thanked him. And I walked out, and it just took me like a half a block to just burst into tears. And I cried all the way home. I walked like 3-4 blocks back to my apartment. And then as I'm approaching my apartment, I think, well, maybe it didn't really happen. So I unlock the door, and I go in, and I go in the mirror, and I pick up the little hand mirror, you know, and it did. It did happen. Now I'm just hysterical. And I call my neighbor Regina, who's my age and a pretty good friend, And I'm just sobbing and I'm explaining. She's like, oh my God, I thought somebody died. It's just a haircut. And I said, no, you don't understand. And she says, well, I'm just gonna come over and see it. So she comes over and she's appalled. And so now I'm really hysterical because usually I exaggerated these things. Usually people didn't confirm my worst suspicions about things. Like, you know, no one's going to ask me out. I have to quit my job, right? I have to quit my job. I cannot go to work looking like this. And Regina's like, yeah. No one's going to ask you out. And you can forget about the guy next door. No one's asking you out. And you have to quit your job. You cannot go to work looking like this. Or at least take a leave of absence, something, until it grows out. So it's just awful. It's really a I've had a horrible several weeks, and it's just a horrible night now. I'm really hit bottom here. And then Regina gets this idea. Quick, because we've already figured out hats won't work, right? Because hats generally sit kind of up here, right? They don't. So she says, scarves. We just wrap scarves. So she goes home. She gets her scarf. She comes back. I dig out a couple that I usually wear around my neck. And we practice. We practice the do with the scarves. And we end up with, if you have a fairly wide scarf wrapped around like this, and then a big kind of lump here. You can't tell. I got that haircut. You can't see the baldness at all. So I went to bed that night thinking, tomorrow won't be any worse than any of the previous days at this job. Wrong. So I arrive at school, and immediately the teachers start saying, "What are you? Why are you wearing that scarf?" And so I kind of tell why. I kind of got a haircut I don't really like, and they're like, so and then I know I'm not going to fool the kids, but it's too late to go home. You know, they've already seen that I'm not sick. I can't turn around and go home. So the first period class comes in, the seventh grade social studies, and they just on it. They know right away what's happened. Why are you wearing that scarf? Did you get a haircut? And you shouldn't lie to kids, because they know. You know, they know the truth. They know the truth. They read people very well. And I'm like, no, I think scarves are cute. They keep my head warm. I think they look great. And they're saying, no, you got a bad haircut. No, I didn't. And I had so little command of my classes that kids would actually try to sneak up on me and pull the scarf off. That's how bad things were. But I defended my scarf pretty well. That didn't happen. So now it's the end of fourth period. I'm going into my fifth period dance class. And I've still got my scarf on, but I have to change carefully into my leotard and my little outfit to not, you know, dislodge the scarf. And I go into the gym pretty carefully. Now, my girls, what happened was we'd have one end of the gym, we'd plug in a little boom box, and then the other kids would have another end of the gym. And so there's a big group of boys and girls playing basketball at the other end. And I'm thinking I'm almost through this first day with a bad haircut. I've almost made it. And I'm dancing around, but of course very carefully, not bending over or anything. And all of a sudden, there's a commotion at the other end of the room. And I start hearing the dreaded words, fight, fight, fight. And I look around, and Jim and Bernice, the other PE teachers, are nowhere to be seen. I'm the only adult in the gym, and I'm going to have to handle this. So a situation for which I have no training at all, no preparation, no experience. So I try to act cool. The girls, of course, all rush from my little area to the crowd to join the circle around the combatants, who I could not see. And I stride over there, and I say, make way, you know, out of the way, out of the way. Fight's over, break it up. And I kind of fight my way through the crowd, and then I find myself in the middle of the ring with two boys who are rolling around on the floor, pummeling each other. And I say, fight's over, break it up, it's all over now, nothing to see here, folks, kind of thing, and to no effect. And I realize that I have a responsibility to keep these boys from hurting each other. It's all me now. And anyway, my instincts told me I needed to break this thing up. So I'm getting ready to dive in, and I realize that my scarf is sort of inhibiting me, you know? And I just reach up, and I pull it off and throw it on the ground, and I dive in there, and I take one, you know, shoulder and one by the sweater, and I'm pulling and pulling like this. And the crowd, I realize, has gone quiet. After a few seconds, I hear, look at her head. Miss Helmick is bald. Look at her head. You see her head? She is bald. And this sort of thing. And they've lost interest in the fight. And because the boys aren't getting egged on, they've kind of lost interest, you know? Like, what's the point now? And the whole thing just sort of dissolved. With the boys standing up and walking in a different direction and the kids going back to their areas, and then just with a few kids kind of walking by me, looking. And I felt kind of powerful, maybe for the first time in like the month I'd been at James Lick Middle School. And of course the next day, I didn't wear the scarf any other day. And in a couple of weeks, my hair grew out and looked kind of conventional. And nothing changed, one way or the other. But it was, you'd have to say, an unexpected consequence.
Thank you.